Father, as always, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the entrance of your word gives light and understanding. We receive that light, receive that understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this will be part two of yesterday's. A few more things I want to cover on the subject of, destiny, kind of. So today's lesson is slightly different, but we want to talk about it. It'll be destiny and providence. We're going to take a closer look. I want to do some review as well. Give you a chance, to talk about that. Yesterday's lesson was about, God turning the would-be destiny destroyers into perhaps unwilling destiny helpers. So we cover the subject of what's a would-be destiny destroyer. What's a destiny helper? Some are willing, some are unwilling. We covered a lot of things there. We covered the categories of people you should surround yourself with and those that you should disengage from, if possible. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk, a little bit from a different angle on the subject of destiny itself and providence and bring it all together. Praise the Lord. Now, destiny is something that will necessarily occur or something that will happen. That's what we call destiny. It's just going to happen. That's the way people think of it. It's going to happen. When we are on a journey as well, you talk about destination. Because of the destination comes from the same root word. But we know that, when you are on a journey, your destination is the place that you are intending to get to on that journey. So we have a destination, and now when that destination is predetermined by God, it's called predestination. The predestination. Now, let me correct something right here, right now. The predestination that the Bible teaches is not this one will be saved, that one will be lost, as people think. The predestination is giving. God talked about it in Genesis chapter 1. This was what was in his mind. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That was his intention. That's where the man will be. That's what he will be like. And Romans chapter 8, 29 would explain it better. The predestination is that it was predetermined that we will come into the image of the Christ. That's the predestination. So here's what he says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestinate them for what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So that's the predestination. Those that whom he foreknew, and he foreknew everybody, really, but there's a different class of people. He foreknew them because he saw it. And he made sure that where they will end up, because that's what was his intention. Normally people talk about intention before an invention. Well, his intention was that we will become like the Christ. That was the predetermined destination for those whom he foreknew. And those whom he foreknew, the Bible says he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, like a blueprint. So the destination, your destination, is you will be like the Christ. That's the destination. God predetermined that. So we call it predestination. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. This is where people get confused. But only God knows who are predestinated. You know, and those who are predestinated, he called them. And the Bible calls them the called. And when he called them, he also justified them. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And you can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this same chapter. He says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. You know, there is a special group of people called the called. And only God knows, you know, but we may think in our hearts that we know this person will be saved, that person will not be saved. That will be a big error. Only God knows that. But those that are the called, he's going to make sure that they get to that destination. And that's where providence comes into play. So I'm trying to bring it together in perspective. Destiny is where you will get to. Something that must happen necessarily. You know, providence, and let me tell you, let me give you a scripture about destiny. It's also called it's something that's preordained by the, what we call the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. And this was, Peter, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 says, let's read it here. Find it in a minute. Okay. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Now, you know what the story of Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, something new happened that they had never experienced. The Holy Spirit came down, you know, and when Peter began to respond to the inquiries or the imagination of the people that these people are drunken, as part of his sermon, he began to break it down and try to prove the genealogy of Jesus Christ and who he was, you know, and so forth. And here is what he said in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Now, that's the predetermined counsel. It's called the determinate counsel of God. You know, this is something that even before anything happened, God predetermined it. So we call it the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. You know, so that's how we put it out. Well, that was Jesus' destiny. You know, and he couldn't shake it. The devil couldn't do it otherwise. And the way that the Lord was going to die was also predetermined. He would be the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God slain for the world. So that's how he was going to die. You can't push him off the cliff. No, that's not going to work. You can't make him jump off the cliff. No, that's why every time devil wanted to make him jump off the mountain to kill him, that wasn't going to happen. Anytime the people wanted to push him down the cliff, he would just pass through the midst of them. That's not going to happen. It was predetermined that he will be a lamb led to the slaughter. You know, and all of those things were predetermined. And when the time came, it was of course predetermined that as a, you know, a lamb is quiet, you know, he was just quiet. He just submitted himself. And he said, this commandment I have received of my Father, to lay down my life. It was a commandment too. Lay down my life and to take it again. And said, no man takes it from me. That's right. He laid it down and he took it up again. Now, these were things that were predetermined. This was his destiny. But, you know, along the way, you know, providence will, you know, guard that destiny. You know, so let's talk about providence. What is providence? Providence is, the way I put it, is we often refer to it as divine providence, but it's providence. It's the continuous act of God, you know, to protect, to guard, to make provision, and to ensure that what he has preordained or his preordained will, you know, shall come to pass. So what he has preordained will come to pass. And providence, the role of providence is to make sure that destiny comes to pass. So you might think of it as God watching over what he has preordained. Now that's the role of providence. Like I said, Jesus, you know, his own destiny was he's going to go through that cross, lay down his life. No one's going to take it from him. It was predetermined before the world began. He declared it himself. He said, you know, I have power to lay down my life. You can read in John chapter 10. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Nobody takes it from me. This is the commandment I have received of my Father. He said, look, my Father loves me because, let's read it together. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loved me because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. This was his destiny. He is going to lay down his life and he is going to be raised again. He said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down. And I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Now, Jesus was somebody that knew his destiny. I'm going to talk about knowing or not knowing your destiny in a minute. But Jesus knew his destiny. And there was power given to him. That's the providence of God. To make sure he gets there. And he does it. Just like the Father wanted it. And the Father commanded it. And so this is how destiny and providence work. So providence will protect and guide and make provision to ensure that what God has preordained will come to pass. That's my definition of providence. Now, how did providence happen in the life of the little child Jesus? Well, when the devil, you know, through Herod wanted to kill him, providence was watching over him. He's going to get to where God wants him to get to. They're not going to kill him as a baby. So the providence of God would give an unction and inspire the angel of the Lord to visit Joseph in a dream by night and give him instruction how to protect the child. Because the providence must protect this child along the way till he gets there. You know, now, where he's going to get to from God's perspective is called the expected end. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, we read this famous text that says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. You know, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, and not of evil. and so forth, to give you an expected end. Now, that expected end is from God's perspective, because he already predetermined it, and his providence will guide you along the way to make sure you get there. Now, I'm going to talk about some major and minor destinies that we've seen in the scriptures and also in our lives. There are some major destinies which are aligned directly with God's purpose, God's eternal purpose, a major destiny, like the one I revealed, that we will become like the Christ. That's a major destiny. That's where we will get to. There are some other major destinies revealed, along to make sure that we get there. When the devil fouled things up, and Adam and Eve, through disobedience, they fell in line with all of that. Well, the Lord gave something. He revealed something that would happen. Genesis 3:15, he said, well, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the devil, but he will bruise his heel. Now, he revealed ahead of time, thousands of years ahead of time, what will happen. How he is going to, finish that work finally. And he revealed it, just dropped it. Just a little bit there. Didn't go into too much detail, but he dropped it. But that's a major destiny. And God is going to watch over it and make sure it happens. And it was fulfilled in Christ. And Romans 8:29 was fulfilled not only in Christ, but in you and me. Christ has his own destiny. This is Genesis 3:15. Well, we have our own destiny. Well, Genesis 1:26. And it's fulfilled in us according to Romans 8:29. Now, these are major destinies in our journey here in life. Now, there are some little destinies along the way. Now, only God knows these things. But let me give you a punchline right now for today's lesson. And then I'm going to tell you a few stories along that punchline. Just because you didn't plan for it or you are not planning for it doesn't mean it's not your destiny. Now, let me repeat that. Just because you didn't plan for it or you are not planning for it, and even you may not know it at the time, doesn't mean it's not your destiny. I said I would talk about known and unknown destinies. There are some destinies that people know. Jesus knew his destiny. We now know our destiny. We may not have known it before, but you know it now. And we must walk towards it. We must align ourselves with the Holy Spirit to bring us into the image and likeness of the Christ. That's our destiny. So we know it now. At one time we didn't know it. When we were lost in sin, we didn't know it. But now we know it. And even some believers come into the knowledge of Christ, but they still don't know that that's where they're supposed to be headed. Well, through the proper teaching, they get to know it. So now we know that, now, but whether you know it or not, whether you are planning for it or not, it doesn't change the fact that it may be your destiny. Let's talk about that for a bit. There are some stories in the Bible, that God handpicked certain people for certain destinies. Now, yesterday we talked about, a few of them, but let's review that again. That's why I call it a closer look and a review today. Let's look at it in terms of destiny and providence. Moses was destined to be a deliverer. And so providence had to protect him. Now, during that whole journey of he being protected to become what God wanted him to be, a lot of things can happen along the way. We talked about that yesterday. God might even raise up what we call destiny helpers to help him get there. protect him along the way and push him towards that and so forth. You know, so now Moses initially wasn't planning to be a deliverer of any sort. He didn't even know it. You know, he started to get wind of the fact that, you know, he began to understand that he was actually Jewish. I mean, he began to know and understand that, you know, he belonged to this other clan, even though he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And then he began to recognize, I mean, there's a possibility when his mother was nursing him, even when he was a little baby, that he was saying some things to him and so forth. And he began to know some things. Who knows? But anyway, somehow he figured it out that, well, he actually did not really belong in the palace of Egypt. And he chose to align himself with his people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment, we're told. You know, so, and one day he decided to take the law into his hands just to help his brothers. Well, he began to think then that, well, maybe I'm here, you know, for a reason. But then he found out that didn't work because, you know, the swift judgment that he decided to bring or retribution to an Egyptian that was tormenting the Jews in killing that Egyptian, burying him in the sand, it was discovered. In fact, it was one of his own brethren that called him out the next day. You know, when two of them were fighting, and he tried to step in the middle and say, "You are brethren. You don't need to do this evil to each other." And the one that did the evil or was doing the evil called out and said, "Look, who made you a judge between us? Are you trying to kill me like you did that Egyptian yesterday?" So now he knows that, my goodness, this thing is out. He's got to flee. Well, he was destined to be a deliverer, whether he knew it or not, whether he's trying to force it to happen or not. That's his destiny. And God's going to watch over that. It may take you 40 years in the backside of the desert. It may take you however long. But God's going to watch over that destiny. Along the way, destiny helpers to help you get there. We'll talk about that. You know, now, in some cases, God might reveal some things. We are not told how God might have revealed to Moses that he would be a deliverer, but he began to figure it out. But in the case of Joseph, that we read his story yesterday, God gave him some dreams. So he may have had understanding from these dreams that he was going to be great and his brethren were going to bow down to him. Now, that was his destiny. Now, it wasn't necessarily that he was trying to do anything about it, but that's what was shown to him in the dream. And well, of course, you know, we talked about yesterday how, you know, he did not use wisdom in protecting that information from others. He opened his mouth and made the people to hate him. But nevertheless, that's right. Nevertheless, providence will protect that destiny. Providence is what led to all of those destiny helpers and even his would-be destiny destroyers turn around to become, by their evil actions, not knowing that they are actually propelling him towards his destiny. We talked about that yesterday. But that was providence. Providence is what was behind the scenes making all of that to happen. So I'm trying to bring the relationship between providence, which is what brings destiny helpers along the way, or even masterminds would be destiny killers and turn their evil intentions around to propel you closer to your destiny. That's the work of providence. Now, a destiny helper may or may not be favorable at the time. I covered some of this yesterday. That's why I call this a review and a closer look. So I wanted to bring a few other things. They may or may not be favorable at the time. And their actions may actually be evil when we're looking at it from the outside. So in that case, we call them would-be destiny destroyer. They're trying to kill the destiny. However, providence has actually earmarked them that they will be a destiny helper. Now, they may not want to be, but, you know, providence will make sure. that it happens that way. Turn around. You know, it's like no matter what they do, the Lord of God, the word of God and the will of God to and the providence of God to protect that destiny of the target, it will come to pass anyway because the providence will protect it. Now, let's talk about when you don't even know, when it wasn't revealed to you, when you were just minding your own business, so to speak, and you were not even thinking about it. In the case of Joseph, he had an, you know, inclination that this may happen because he got these dreams. Well, in the case of David, I mean, the day that God told Samuel to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king, because God was done with Saul, David was not even invited to the coronation ceremony. You know, so David wasn't preparing for it. He wasn't thinking about it. He didn't know anything about it. He wasn't even invited initially. But so, because you didn't know anything about it, just because you are not preparing for it, just because you are not planning for it at the moment, does not, you know, negate the fact that it might be your destiny. Now, it was David's destiny to be king, and God chose him to be king. Well, you know, everything that happened before he was called to the finally the coronation ceremony, if you look at it in the natural, although later on we found out that, you know, God was actually preparing him, you would have thought that, well, he wasn't even ready because all he was doing was a shepherd boy. You know, if you're going to be king, you know, maybe you'll be in school, maybe you'll be, you know, this, maybe you'll be being trained, maybe you sit in the under this school of prophets, because those prophets, they're the ones that, you know, guided those priests. They gave them the testimony. They put the anointing oil on them. They guided them throughout them. Maybe they will be hanging around the prophets and all of these things all their life and being prepared for that. David wasn't doing any of that. He was actually in the bush tending sheep, you know, but tend sheep or not, prepare for it or not, know about it or not, did not change the fact that it was his destiny. And it was his destiny to become the king. And of course, well, in his story, you know his storyline, the biggest, his biggest nemesis, his biggest would-be destiny killer was the king Saul. Because he envied the fact that this man was going to take the kingdom. In fact, he wanted Jonathan, his son, to be the king. But, you know, the Lord had other plans. And so David, eventually he found out that God wanted him to be king. You know, but David was a man that was patient. He understood that providence would get him there. Even though when he was tested, tempted, and pushed by people around him to take matters into his hand and kill Saul when he found him, you know, in a cave, on two occasions, he had an opportunity to kill him. One occasion he took his spear, another occasion he cut something off from his garment and all that. And he's like, look, he said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. You know, and God was, through many things that he went happening to him, running for his life all the time. I mean, he's supposed to be king, but he's running for his life. It's like, I mean, it looked as if he didn't even have time to prepare to be king. I mean, his life was in his mouth all the time, you know. But yes, God was preparing him, but not the way that you would have thought. And the providence of God was protecting him. not the way that you would have thought. When the lion, when he was a young man, the lion came up against, you know, one of the sheep that he was tending. Providence was protecting and guiding him. That was part of his training. He didn't know it at the time, but that training would come into play against Goliath later on. But he didn't know it at the time. All he was doing was just trying to defend the sheep. And, you know, but God watched over him. God gave him incredible skills to get into a hand-to-hand combat with a lion and to come out on top. That was providence. He got into a hand-to-hand combat with a bear that when the bear rose up against him was like 9 foot tall. But he got the victory. That was providence. And later on, you know, that would come into play. He didn't know it at all that time that he was going to face Goliath. But by the time he faced Goliath, you know, he remembered how that bear had risen up against him, pounded the chest, and he was just as big, perhaps even bigger than this Goliath. And said, look, I've been there. I've dealt with that one before, and I'll deal with this one as well. Now, providence was guiding him all the way through. Now, there are some other things and some other stories in the Bible where providence was going to prepare somebody for something, but they didn't know about it and protect them. The story of Esther, for instance. She was a slave girl that would become queen. But God will position her, even as our uncle said, how do you know that God did not set you up at such a time for this? You know, and she didn't know that she was going to be queen. You know, she was just a slave. But the hand of the Lord was upon her. You know, and sometimes circumstances that God will allow will push us in the direction that God wants you to, you know, get you closer and closer to your destiny. And so sometimes when negative things happen, may not always be, I mean, something that will completely derail us. It may be happening, and well, at that moment, it's not pleasant, just like all the things that happened to Joseph. They were intended to finish him off. However, God was using each one of those things to move him closer. Now, he didn't know it at the time that he was moving him closer to his destiny. How could he have known it? When he was in the dungeon, I mean, when he threw him first into the pit, the devil could have come to him and said, in fact, his brothers told him, said that, we'll see what will become of your dreams now, dreamer. And he cast him into the pit. And so they'll say, yeah, see, you dreamt that you'll be great. We'll see how you'll be great in this pit. And then even when they told him to the Ishmaelites, well, devil would have had opportunity to chide him again and say, well, we'll see how you'll be great now. You are being taken to a far country. And your brethren, how are you going to reign over those brethren? They're not even coming. They are there, you are going here, and you're going to be a slave over here. It will never happen. You will never be reign over them. You will never be greater than them. In fact, you will be a slave the rest of your life. The devil could told him all those things. So, in his mind, I don't know how he would have been preparing to become this thing, you know, even though he had an inclination about it. But whether you are preparing for it or not, you know, doesn't change the fact that it might be your destiny. Hallelujah. So, you know, I look at even Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, she was destined. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 said, a virgin shall conceive, shall bring forth a son. We shall call his name Emmanuel and so forth. I mean, this thing was there thousands of years. And she was destined to be the one. There's no way she could have known it. There's no way she would have been preparing for it. As a matter of fact, she was alarmed when it was announced to her that, and then she's like, how in the world? Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, nobody would conceive. It had never been heard of. The only people that we know of, or at least the people know of, you know, at that time, or knew of at that time, that didn't have parents, or Adam and Eve. Well, later on, we found out that there was a figure called Melchizedek that also arrived without father, without mother. But they didn't know all that stuff. And so everybody, you know, was conceived somehow, you know, and be brought forth by parents. And so Mary, when she was told, hey, you're going to be, you know, the mother of someone that's going to be the son of the highest. And she's like, how in the world? And the angel told her, don't worry about it. Providence will make it happen. That's right. And, you know, let me tell you something. Some of the things that you may be chosen for in your life may not be the easiest thing in the world. This was not the easiest thing for Mary. In fact, her life was thrown into shambles, you know, when that thing happened to her. You know, because, you know, at that time, she was looked narrowly upon as someone that had played hold on, or, you know, somehow, you know, how in the world did you get pregnant? You're not even married, you know, and there was a stigma upon her for that. In fact, the person that she was espoused to, Joseph, you know, he was going to just quietly put her away. He didn't want to disgrace her. He was just going to quietly put her away. When they came to the day of wedding, or marriage, you say, saw that she was pregnant as big, big disgrace. So just quietly leave her alone, move on. And so she had to deal with this shame of carrying a baby in her stomach when she wasn't married. Everybody knew she wasn't married and she had to be pregnant. She tried to hide herself. She couldn't do it, you know. I mean, just imagine how her life was thrown into shambles because of that. And sometimes the destiny that you are going to carry may not be the easiest thing in the world. But if you follow through, at the end of it all, she followed through. Glory to God. And look at what she birthed for. She birthed for the Savior of the world. My goodness. You know, but it wasn't easy to be found to be pregnant when you were not married. I mean, she could have told the story multiple times. Nobody would have believed her. That, well, the angel just appeared to you and told you to be pregnant. Who ever heard of such a thing? Even her husband didn't believe it. Husband to be. But the angel of the Lord had to come to him in a dream and tell him, yeah, don't be afraid to take your wife unto you. This thing came from the Lord. And I said, well, you know, the Lord had to help him to figure it out. I mean, many people went through all these things, you know, and just because God also appointed you to a destiny doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We saw it in the case of Mary. We saw it in the case of Jesus even. His destiny to be the Savior of the world, his life was in jeopardy from day one. From the time he was born and the wise men came to say, we've seen, you know, the star of one born to be king of the Jews. From that point on, his life was in jeopardy. From the moment that the devil figured out who he was, the devil was trying to kill him, jump off the cliff, do all of these things, you know. And even the people, many times, they tried to kill him, tried to throw him off the cliff, tried to do all these things to him. It was never easy, you know, but he stayed the course. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our closer look today at the subject of destiny and kind of like a review over yesterday, how destiny works in tandem with providence. You know, destiny is where you're going to get to or things that are going to happen necessarily. But providence is God's continuous act to make sure what he ordained will come to pass. And if God had ordained something for you, so let's bring it home to our Emerge series. Why are we doing all of this? Because we're on the subject of Emerge as we close out this year. Here's how it works. You may or may not know what it is that God had destined for you. Sometimes he will reveal it to you. He might even use circumstances. However, he may show it to you in a dream. He may use circumstances. You may eventually figure it out. And some people will actually seek the Lord and God will, instruct them, which we must all do. But you may or may not know it now. You may or may not be preparing for it exactly, but that doesn't change the fact that God's ordained it. And so here is the lesson that we want you to understand today. Let us not be without understanding anymore. You should not understand your destiny now. At least your major destiny. You will be like the Christ. Everybody should understand that. But there are little destinies along the way. Maybe you'll be an entrepreneur. Maybe you'll be a nurse. Maybe you'll be a doctor. Maybe you'll be this. Maybe you'll be that. Those are little ones along the way. Those are not the eternal things, but all of those things combined, you should be getting understanding now. Now, when God says we are going to emerge into our destiny, they're twofold. Your spiritual destiny, which is become like the Christ, that's supreme. That's number one. And that's our major, final, ultimate destiny. And our ultimate destination is exactly that. And we've been on this journey. We started from the profane place. Again, using the temple symbolism to explain that. We started from the profane place. Outside were unbelievers. Well, when you get to become a believer, well, you may be considered part of the general populace that are in the outer court. Well, but that's not good enough. A destination is the most holy place to have an encounter with the mercy seat. That's the destination. But you can't stay in the outer court. When you're there, at best, it's 30-fold. If you proceed to the inner court of the first tabernacle, well, maybe then you have 60-fold, but there is 100-fold, because Jesus talked about it, 30, 60, 100. Well, why stop at 30 if you can get 60? Why even stop at 60 if you can get 100? Well, 100 is right in there, in that most holy place, one-on-one, you alone, just like the high priest, only he went in there. And it's a one-on-one union with Christ. And it's not quite unlike the high priest that went in and out. This destination for us is not an in and out. Jesus said, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. There's no more in and out, in and out, in and out. We've been in and out all our life. All our life, it's been an encounter. That's the best we have. We're moving from encounter now to habitation. This is part of the Emerge series. I spoke about this when we were doing our Ignite series some months ago. But it's no longer, like Bible says that, God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend face to face, Now, the best that they had in the Old Testament was face to face. That's the best they had, But us, it's not face to face anymore. It's habitation, dwelling place. We in him and he in us. That's the secret of this destination, or where we will be. So now, in the Old Testament as well, God, to the best of their ability, he called them friends. That's the best that they could get to. Just like Exodus 33 and verse 11 describes it. In Exodus 33 and 11, You know, the Bible says the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So, at best, he was friend. Even Abraham was called a friend of God. You know, that's the best that they could get to at that time. They could not ascend into sonship, you know, because Christ was going to be the firstborn and Christ hadn't come. So everyone that came before Christ could not get into sonship. Now, after Christ, yes, because Christ had to be the firstborn among many brethren. So all that came before him, even though they believed in God and all of that, at best, they were friends. And even the disciples, at one time, Jesus promoted them from servants to friends. But that was before the cross. Jesus said, well, I don't call you servants anymore, and I'll call you friends, because the servant doesn't know the will of the master, but I've showed you everything. So now you are friends. Now, the servant doesn't really know the will of the master. Even rich people today that have servants, they don't always tell the servant, you know, they may have a chauffeur to drive them to somewhere. The servant may know where they're going, doesn't necessarily know what they're going to do. You know, get me a car, you're going to drive me to such and such a place. That's about the best they know. But Jesus said, look, I promoted you from being servants. You now know the will of my Father, so you are now friends. But that was before the cross. You know, now after the cross, we went from just being friends, going into sonship. Because the Son of God, who came to die and Jesus said, look, this commandment I've received of my Father, to lay it down and to take it again. Now, until that was complete, his mission as the Son of God was not complete. So when he laid it down and he took it up, that's right. Now, you know, he's the firstborn. Fully completed his mission. All the others can now come. They're now moving from friendship even into sonship. Today, we don't have to go through the process of, you know, being servant and being friend before we become sons. We can move straight. As many as now receive him, he gave them power. John 1 and 12. We become sons of God. We can move straight into that. Now, that's our ultimate destination. But as sons, well, what should we be like? Well, it doesn't quite appear what we shall be. 1 John chapter 3, you know. But he has called us sons, and we shall be like him. But it may not look quite like that yet, as 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But we know that it will be like it eventually. And that's the ultimate, our ultimate destination. Now, along the way, to help us get there, there will be other little destinies along the way. Now, on the material and physical side, there are some things that God wants us to inherit that will actually help us and help the kingdom of God in this quest. Now, that's where you come in. What God is positioning to do and positioning you, what God's positioning to do for you in your life, and what God's positioning you to inherit. As we go through these next few weeks, we'll talk some more about this, because when we enter the next year, and even from now, we don't need to wait next year, but from now, as we go on through the next year, we begin to understand. See, understanding is key, and strategy is key. And I'll be talking some more about that as we go along. I've already been talking about it here and there, just alluding to it, how God gave Jacob strategy and so forth, you know, but we're going to talk some more about that as we go along. Today's lesson is just for us to review the relationship or interaction between destiny and providence. And remember, the destiny that God may have chosen for you, and just because you don't know it and you don't think of it, doesn't change the fact that it could be your destiny. Now, those are little destinies. Your major destiny, you must know it. We must know that we are ordained crafted to become like the Christ. In fact, the Bible says that we're a new workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we need to understand this. We can no longer, you know, just be there and say we don't understand that. You know, that was then, we now understand. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, you know, and so forth. So we're a new lineage, a new creation in Christ. And we must understand that now. That's where we're headed. That you must understand. And some other little destinies along the way that we should understand. Figure it out. Ask the Lord, what would that have me do? And when you do, when you say yes like that, you know, we did that last Sunday, this Sunday, you know, I want to say yes to the Lord. When you say yes, he will open up, begin to show you what's along the way. Now, along the way, there may also be, you know, various hurdles and different things that you've got to overcome. This journey is not a sprint. You know, it's more like an obstacle course. It's all kinds of things. Sometimes you run, sometimes you fall down, sometimes you have to jump, sometimes you have to wade through the water, whatever, you know. But providence will protect you. And even when you feel faint, providence will come in there. You know, there were times that the angel of the Lord had to come and strengthen Jesus. The angel of the Lord will come and strengthen you. You know, the journey is long. The angel of the Lord came to Elijah and strengthened him. Said, look, 40 days, you got to go. So receive some strength. You know, providence will guide you, protect you, and make sure, you know, that you are on the right path. But we must trust him. The role that we must play in understanding the relationship between destiny and providence is we must trust him that his providence is sovereign. That's right. His providence is sovereign and he will get us there. No matter what, you know, once he says, let's go over to the other side, get to the other side, you will. Whether there is tempest, whether there is a raging storm, whether that the boat is almost capsized, whether the waters are rushing into the boat, it doesn't matter. He said, let us get cross over to the other side, and you will cross over. Now, in that little story, the destination was the other side. And Jesus said it. And then he went to sleep because he knew providence will make it happen. Now, the others didn't understand it. You know, so they panicked just because a storm arose. Well, storms will arise. You know, that's because God told you something. You know, in fact, that's the very reason that storms will arise. Storms will arise to, you know, get you off track. All kinds of things will come up against you. Once you figure out where you're going. That's right. Maybe sometimes when you don't figure it out, you're just doing all kinds of things. You know, things are coming up against you anyway, but you know, but the moment you truly figure it out, all kinds of things will come up against you for sure. But you must trust him that his providence will get you there. Hallelujah. You know, because God said you're going there. So that's it. I'm going there. I'm coming out on the other side. When I pass through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm coming out on the other side. That's passing through. You know, when you pass through the fire, Isaiah 43 and 2, when you pass through the floods, you're passing through. There is something about the through. That means coming out on the other side. The destination is the other side and you will get there. So, there may be fires along the way, floods along the way, whatever. We've got to trust him that his providence will keep us through all of that. So that's the relationship between destiny and providence. And lastly, let me remind us that, you know, what happens to you along the way when you are headed towards your destiny, you know, cannot necessarily prevent you from getting there. You know, these things may happen, but they won't prevent you from getting there. Stuff may happen to you along the way, but that's not going to prevent you. And providence will even send destiny helpers, which may or may not be favorable at the time. But lo and behold, once you understand it, then we stop complaining. And then you understand Romans 8 and 28, that all things will work out for my good because I love the Lord and because I am the called for a purpose. That's right. Called according to his purpose. So God's going to make it work out. All things don't work out for everybody. You know, people quote that, but it's in error. And everybody just randomly quote that. No. Things only work out for good to them who love God, not to those who God loves, because God loves everybody, but to them who love God and who are the called. If you have fit into those categories, then it'll work out for you. And always will work out for you, no matter what it looks like at the moment. I pray that the Lord gives us this understanding, and in the days ahead, other things that the Lord may tell us will help us to understand how that God's providence will get you there. And his providence along the way keep getting you closer and closer. So sometimes bad things may happen. You may wonder why. A lot of them happened to Joseph. But at the end of the day, when we now look back in the stories, the storyline, we see that all those bad things were actually propelling him towards his destiny. You know, so that's our lesson today. Father, I pray and I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listened in. Pray, Lord, that we've gained a little understanding about how the determinate counsel of God and his foreknowledge for our lives will be protected by even his providence, and to make sure we get there. And the things that are coming for your people, which the Bible calls an expected end, that's from God's perspective when he calls it an expected end in Jeremiah 29:11. That's from his perspective. He will watch over it to make sure you get to that expected end. I pray for this understanding. And as we release this, let this be released joy and confidence in our hearts that the Lord knows and he's in control, because we've turned over control to him. And Lord, we pray that you help us to recognize that and to yield to his will. And as we say yes, yes, and yes, may he give us the grace, confidence, assurance that we need to wade through this journey, and we'll get there, because that's what he said, that's what he proposed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.